Hi, everyone. Welcome to timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 193 for August 20th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern time. But if you listen to podcasts, I'm also posting the audio only version of every episode now as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. So be sure to search for Timing Research and subscribe. Today, we will be discussing the 256th weekly crowd forecast news report, and you should be seeing that on your screen right now while I'm talking. If you haven't had a chance to read over this report yet, just go to timingresearch.com and you can get the PDF or blog post version of the report there. I have Dave Landry back to moderate today, and this is a special show because we have three first-time guests, which has not happened in a while. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Dave.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, David Cosmetter. Thanks to Timing Research and Crowd Forecast News for having me back. Once again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Looks like a good lineup today. We were kind of goofing off a little bit before, so I think we should have a little bit of fun today. In no particular order other than possibly the order you logged in. Let's go to you first, Damon, and tell us a little bit about yourself for those of us who don't know you, and tell us a little bit about your trading.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Dave. It's good to be on here. It's the first time.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to see veterans in the business still around like myself. I put my bio up there because it's too long and boring, but for the most part, it's 41 years of you name it. I had four different seats and three different exchanges. Ran companies for a long time, traded for myself, had a charting service, and started my own brokerage firm called Future Path Trading. And then at that point, we created Photon Trader. While I was on the floor for 28 years, that was a whole different game. And then I joined the electronic trading world, and now it's been 41 years total in the business. And I'm still alive. I'm still here. And I'm also, for those, many of you probably know my wife, Linda Rashke. She was a client in 1991. And by 2005, I said, we should just stop meeting this way. So anyway, we got married in 2008. And here I am with some other good traders.
Yeah, I was going to mention that in passing, but I didn't want to minimize the what you've done. But cool. All right, Norman, let's go over to you next. For those of us who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about thedisciplinedtrader.com. Norm,
please. Thanks for having me. Disciplined Trader's been around for, did I miss a joke there? I don't know. I don't know any good traders. So actually, I know a few. But I kind of call myself the little Jewish Tony Robbins of trading. I'm the guy that tells traders that you can do this, that if you just follow your system. But that conscious, that conscious motivation lasts about as long as the video that they're watching of me. You got to learn to change your patterns. And that's what we're all about here at the Disciplined Trader, taking care of the 50% of trading that nobody talks about. I started out in probably what is known as a boiler room. I was making a lot of money with a room of 60 brokers that all sold gold and silver options from Makata Metals in the 1980s. And we were never shut down, or we didn't do anything illegal, but it was the Wild West then. And I kind of got tired of everybody losing. Well, winning first and then losing. What happened, I got there in November, October of 79, when I started as a broker on the telephone. And what happened was gold shot up from 300 to 850. And everybody that had a $10,000 option in gold or a $10,000 option in silver, all of a sudden was worth $160,000 or $170,000 in about 2 months. Take the profit, take part of the profit. Oh, no, this is going to 2000. And of course, on the way down, maybe they doubled their money if they were lucky. A lot of them came out with nothing. And that really was a lesson to me, that the mental and emotional part of it was the key. And that's why I concentrate on it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm a big fan of trading psychology. I do a lot of work there, too. So good stuff. And, people don't realize that you can't. Everybody thinks you have to be 100% right. And you're never going to be 100% right in this business. And you have to be willing to, at least I believe, take profits along the way and don't worry about being right. All right, Lee, let's go over to you. Lee Harris, emojitrading.com. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you come up with the name emojitrading.com?
Thanks, Dave. To answer the second question, there was no great meaning behind it. In the UK, I found that Emoji Limited, so the LLC name, was available. And I thought, you know what? That's a name I should use. And it's, I can obviously pivot off that into anything. Emoji trading, emoji used car sales. And I just thought, let's grab it for here on Elgo. So no clever meaning behind it, although it does make it really easy for me to design logos for the company and the product. In terms of my background, I was trading on and off for probably 20, 25 years. I first got into trading through a friend of mine who was a runner on the floor of the London Stock Exchange before it all went electronic. And he lost a huge amount of money during the 89 crash, selling naked puts. And he sort of piqued my interest, as did his nervous breakdown. And I got into traded options on equities in the early 90s, then was doing CFDs on equities, all really things because of the gearing. I had an IT career for quite a long time and then ran my own business. And a few years ago, I sold one of my businesses and it gave me the opportunity to rent a desk in a trading arcade in London. So I thought, you know what, I've always wanted to trade properly and full time. And actually, here's an opportunity to go into the real environment and see what it's like. There's no excuse. And I realized after 6 months, I didn't need to pay a fortune for a desk. I didn't need to be awake at 4 a.m. to get the train to be shouted at by a risk manager whose company I was paying money to, because actually things had developed on the retail side well enough that as long as you've got bandwidth and software, you can trade professionally from home. So I started doing that. And I realized when I was in the prop firm that everything I'd studied about technical analysis over the previous 20 years was kind of irrelevant once I was in a day trading environment. And I saw that, you know what, I could put random lines on the chart, horizontal lines, and actually all that mattered was how the market reacted to those lines, whether they were structural, whether they were things that everyone else was looking at, or whether they were random. And that got me into analyzing order flow quite heavily. So I wrote some software to mainly help my own trading based upon some of the ideas and things I was seeing. And with a software development background, I thought, you know what, I've got to write this on a commercial basis because there are other people like me. And then two and a half years ago, the Emoji Trading Order Flow Suite was born. And what it does is it helps you visualize events relating to supply and demand in the market so that you can make informed decisions based upon what the crowd is doing through the activity that they've left behind. Now, to earlier points, of course, your informed decision is still reliant on good discipline and good psychology, but we make it easy to visualize what's actually going on to help your decision making.
Gotcha. It looks has a little bit of a look and feel to like market profile. Is that would that be too far off? Or
I'm an advocate of market profile and also volume profile.
Okay.
And what we do, if anyone's familiar with the footprint chart, the whole market delta thing, that chart visualization where you can see the traded volume on the bid and the ask. You know, that's available in various retail platforms now. But what we do is we look at patterns which are there within the underlying footprint.
Gotcha.
And those patterns can give you clues as to what's going on when you can spot the patterns. And you don't need our software to spot those patterns. If you're really adept at reading numbers and doing on-the-fly calculations, then as long as you're looking at the raw numbers, you can work it out. But actually, it's a lot easier if you've got a big blue box.
Gotcha.
Or a bit of text saying exhaustion. And then, you know, if the computer's screaming at you as to what's going on, then you've got to be really undisciplined to ignore it.
Gotcha.
Hey, wait a second. You said undisciplined. Hold it.
What are you, from the discipline trader or something?
I'm trying to create opportunity for everybody here.
I see.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dave Landry of DaveLandry.com. I'm not going to bore you with a bio. If you can get that on my website if you're interested. But I've been trading for a very long time, and I believe that you can only predict the short term when it comes to markets, but you can stick around longer term if the trend begins to materialize. There's problems with short-term trading. There's a lot of problems with long-term trading, and I think you can take a bit of a hybrid approach through money management. I do believe in keeping it simple. Is the market going up, down, or sideways is the first question that you always should ask yourself. If you're interested in learning a little more, if you go to my website /CFN for Crowd Forecast News and put your information in, I'll give you a $100 reusable promo code where you can download all three of my books for free. And I'll also send you some videos on trading and free reports and a bunch of stuff to keep you busy for a while. So get to know me, get to know the methodology, know where I'm coming from, see if it's right for you before you go any further. And usually I do a show every Thursday, my own webinar. So if you guys are interested in that, if you sign up there, you'll get the information on that. And you could always shoot me an email at david@davelandry.com. Norm, I'm going to go back to you. And the first question is, what direction do you think the S&P index will move from today's open till Friday's close? And then once you answer that question, rate your confidence in your answer to that. I estimated you have the probability you have correctly predicted this week's market move. So rate your confidence based by estimating the probability you have correctly predicted this week's market move.
You're the guy that keeps it simple, right?
Yeah. Okay. So much for that.
I'm just wondering. Well, I'll give you the two-part answer. I laughed when I saw this. Not that it wasn't worth going through all this data. I have a math degree, and I guess I enjoy looking at the data and so on. But in the end, you got to simplify things when you trade. My feeling about the S&P is that right now we're at S&P, for instance, is right now 2858. I think we're going to wind up this time at the close of next week, we're going to be somewhere between 2850 and 2870. That's my prediction. Why do I think that? I think it's because the S&P, of course, and as most of the index are bumping up the S&P against new highs, and we're starting to get some choppiness. There's always resistance at that new high. We've just started testing it on the longer term chart. In fact, if you take a look at this right here, you'll see, hoping you can see this right here. You'll see right here, right in the current, this is a 20-year chart or a 20-year chart. And you can see how dramatic, of course, we all know how the market is. But look what's happening here. We have a double top that looks like it's wanting to form. You really can't call it. There's not enough lines to, if it backs off here, I guess some could call this a double top. We've seen it a couple of times near highs. This is kind of very similar over here and over here. You're very similar. Too. It seems to like those double tops. So for me, I think there's a lot of technicians that are looking for repetition, looking for it to do the same thing. So this week, I think, is going to be a quiet week, so to speak. And I think we're just going to be bumping up against that high, but not breaking it. Therefore, my prediction. And as far as my confidence in that prediction, I would say that my confidence is probably at about the 70% level. I think it's a very high probability we do nothing this week, or we kind of go sideways, still trying to figure out. I mean, look at the opinions here. We're still at a 50-50 thing, which means there's going to be a bias to the upside as far as I'm concerned, because that's the trend. But there's not enough of a spread between who loves it and who doesn't. I'm always looking to be the contrarian. I mean, I think when we go to 70 or 80% of the people loving this market, that's when I'll be looking to trade specifically from the short side. So for right now, I think the trend continues higher, but only slightly as we test the resistance at the old highs.
Okay. And you answered a lot of the next question, but we'll circle back to you on that too, the developing events. But Lee, let's go over to you. Same questions. What direction do you think the S&P will close the week? And then rate your confidence in your answer to that by estimating the probability you have correctly predicted this week's market's move.
Sure. My bias is higher. I'm basing my analysis by looking at the futures and the traded volume that's in there. In terms of my confidence level, I'm amused by the confidence level on this kind of binary choice of higher or lower. So my confidence level is 100%.
Oh, wow.
I love
that
it.
That doesn't happen.
The disciplined guy loves it.
Wow. All right, cool.
Having come from a sales background where, I put a sales forecast in and, I've got £1 million deal that I'm 80% confident of landing, I kind of go with sort of all or nothing approach. That, if my view is it's going to be higher, but I'm only 60% confident, then actually, what am I saying? But I'm 40% feeling it might go lower, in which case, it's going to stay the same. But I absolutely am confident it won't stay the same. So for me, I'm 100% confident we're going to end up higher.
There you go.
That's what I meant to say that too.
All right, Damon, let's go to you. We can't see whether your eyes are rolling or not, but...
Well, that's the first time I heard 100% confident, I got to say. That's pretty good. Good explanation. Let's see. So, you know, out of the four indexes, you know, the NASDAQ definitely is having some issues right now. You know, I have buys on the other three indexes for the dailies. And my projections are that we're going to take out, I feel we're going to take out the high of the ES by the end of the week. And just based on looking at the volume, the way the market act, the price behavior, and all three of them, the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Russell, those three I'm just looking at right now just to make it easy. I have a buy on all of them. They're looking pretty good. You could just see by the volume. I'll show you a couple charts here, if that's okay. Do I have time to do that?
Yeah, go ahead. And that'll just be the answer to the next question. That's fine. That's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Let me see if I can do this right now. I'm going to share. Let's share this here. Trying to make it easy. As you know, Dave, there's a million charts you could share. But if I got like 5 minutes, I just got to throw something up there. So this is these are volume candles on the dailies. This is Photon Trader. I use a little reversal. Those are the red and the green dots. This is my own reversal. Just threw up a 21-day moving average just to kind of give a little feel for it. That's the 310 Linda's oscillator below. But if you just look at the basics here, these three charts to me are bullish. You could see that if you look at here, let me see if I can bring up one other chart here. Try to do this right for you. All right, well let's just do this. So you can see the rejection here. There's hardly been any downslope in the last month. I mean, on the moving averages here, which usually signifies that the trend is pretty strong. The volume, you know, when we're going higher, you could see follow through on the volume. And when we start to go sideways, you could see there's no volume. So I have reversals to the upside, except for if you look at the NASDAQ, you could see that we had a good day down, good volume, and we're in a sell still. So unless the NASDAQ turns around, that might hold us back from really making that high. So let me show you another chart. I'm going to try to.
Hey, man, when you're trading these index futures, because they're choppy, how long are you holding on to them?
So, you know, typically, you know, I believe in You know, I believe in not taking any markets overnight anymore. Ever since 87, it's funny, I traded the 87 crash. I was trading for myself in the pit at the CME. And it was really interesting real quick that in 87, I thought the world was coming to the end when I was in the pit. You know, it was falling apart. I mean, it was crazy. But when I went home, I saw everybody's riding their bicycles or doing things. And I'm thinking, either I'm crazy and I know that the world's falling apart, but they don't know it yet, right?
Yeah.
I had my parents pull out 20,000 cash. I said, you got to go to the bank, because the banks were really, you know, they're long lines in the bank. But my point is, in 87, we weren't globally tied. There was no Globex. We weren't that globally tied. Now, every day, come on, you go to bed, you wake up, we gap 10, 20 points higher, we gap 10, 20 points lower. How do you trade longer term? Sure, yeah. You can trade longer term, but your risk is much, much huge, you know, is much bigger. So I believe in trading during the day. I look at 5 and a 30. Those are my, you know, two main charts. I look at the daily and the weeklies for the overall trend. If I'm bullish on all the other chart, you know, on the trend, I'm just buying dips. I'm not looking for sell signals. I'm not going to stand in front of a freight train and or a trend. And that's where most traders have an issue. They don't like buying high because they think, well, it's too high to buy. So what do? They start shorting it once it goes up quite a bit. And that's, you know, that sometimes, you know, a half an hour into the day, we're up 20 handles. Everybody's thinking it's got to correct. And what does it do? It's up 30 handles, right? And they get crushed. They give away their day. So I like day trading. I use 5 and 30s. What you're seeing here on this chart, I made it simple. Photon Trader works with Window Trader now. And, you know, you could see these are volume candles, and this is broken out into 30-minute periods. And you could just see that high blue, we're sitting above the value area. I know that most people don't know market profile, but I kind of broke it out so you could see market profile with volume candles right next to it. These particular bars here, if you could see. And so this is telling me the market really wants to take a run for the highs. And if you look at the dailies, they look pretty good. Now, I agree with Norman. You know, if you really look at the market closely, we are a little bit consolidated up here, moving sideways. But I'm starting to see signs that we're going to be out of that soon. So, you know, that's kind of my two cents here. I got a slide here just to kind of point out what I was talking about.
I have
about.
A quick question, Damon. When you said you're buying the dips, are you waiting for the market to turn back in the direction? Let's say you're bullish. Are you waiting for it to turn back up, or you're actually buying as it begins to fall?
Well, right at this point here, I would be long. I'm pretty bullish, and my confident level's probably 80% that we're going to test the highs of the ES this week. That's just how I feel about it. Let me see if I just want to show one chart to clarify it a little bit, and then you guys jump in and do your thing, right? Now, let's see if it's this one here. No, I probably have the wrong one here. Hang on.
Well, if you want to, we could circle back to you.
Yeah,
if you want.
Circle back.
Okay, let's do that. Oh, there you go. Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah, so, you know, it just shows, you can see over here, the rejection on these two lows here, the price behavior from coming from the floor, you know, I've learned quite a bit, you know, this kind of action is telling me we're on our way up. We're about ready to go. And I have buy reversals to the upside, except for the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ right here has some issues, but of course, some of it was the big earnings and, you know, the sell-offs on a couple of big stocks, but I think they're going to turn around.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and answer all three questions. I'm going to say up, and I'm going to give myself a confidence of 60%. And people have sometimes misconstrued when I say that you can only predict the short term. That doesn't mean that you could always predict the short term. So if I have a setup, then I'll feel pretty good about it. And I mostly trade pullback related patterns. But one thing I like to do, the indices are a little bit more, or a lot more choppy. And that's why I was asking Damon so many questions, because indices are hard to trade, especially if you're trying to hold longer term, because they are choppy. Longer term, it looks like they just go up. But if you're trading futures, as Damon does, it's a lot different when you're down in the nitty gritty. But one thing simple that I've recently been kind of noodling with is, if a market's going to go from A to C, which is just basic technical analysis, and B is somewhere in between, it's going to have to pass through B on its way to C. Now, I do have an IPO pattern, actually two IPO patterns that pretty much just buy at B, but for the most part, you can't buy at B. But you'd be much better off than trying to catch a falling knife. Now, along the lines of buy at B, one thing I've been messing around with a little bit lately is, as long as you're at or near all-time highs or at least one-year highs, you want to be long. And then what I have here on the chart as an indicator. And I found that just kind of, I picked a random round number here, and I picked 10 because I thought that'd be a good number. So if you're 10% off of the, let's just say, one-year high, you want to be out of the market or short the market. Now, if you notice back here when we went to over 10% to sell off of 2016, a lot of people were like, oh, let's just hold on, and they held on, and they felt pretty smart. But that could have been the beginning of a bear market, and it wasn't. We shorted a little bit, individual issues, got stopped out of profits, and then we went back to getting long. So as the old hedge fund adage states, easy for me to say, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. Now, along those lines, as you can see, it's bullish during these major longer term trends. And so far, we've been very bullish here. And you can see we haven't gone below, or I should say above 10% as far as a sellout. So as long as this remains intact, I'm not going to get too excited. Now, keep in mind that in trend following, you're going to be a little bit late to exit. So that just comes with the territory. It is what it is. We were talking before the show, you're never going to get it exactly right. So it's okay to be partially right and take some profits, or possibly give them some profits in the end. So anyway, long story endless. I think as long as we're at or near new highs like we are now, I don't see any reason to get too excited about the market selling off. The only other thing I would like to add, though, is that we really have been stuck in the sideways range, especially that's a NASDAQ. If you look at the Russell 2000, one thing I like to do in keeping it simple is look at the net price movement. And we haven't gone anywhere here in a couple of months. So we are stuck in this range. As a trend follower, notice this big blue arrow or cyan, I guess in this case, is pointing sideways. So that's got me a little nervous. And I'm not seeing a whole lot of setups. I think I've got one long stock in my portfolio, and that's it. And I don't have any prospects on the radar, at least for today. So basically, I'm in sit and wait mode with a slight air on the side of the longer term trend. So I'm slightly bullish in here as long as the market is near its old highs. All right, Norman, I think you you had talked about a few developing events earlier, but if you want to add anything to that, and let me go ahead and read the question so Lee can get ready. For your answer to number one, please share what specific reasons you think the S&P will be headed, and I think you said higher, this week.
Yeah, slightly higher. I, you know, somewhere between where we are now and 15 to 20 points high. I just don't see enough energy yet. Generally, well, let me look at this first. If I think there is a tremendous, there's tremendous energy in the market, even though, and I'm not judging by volume. I think there's a lot of anticipation both ways that we're going to have a correction, and there's a lot of energy that we could go much higher. And I think we can go much higher. I don't know which one it is. You know, let the market tell you. But if you look at these two highs that back in 2000 and 2008, this movement from this is halfway. This thing has doubled, or from 1,400 to 1,500 to almost 3,000. This next move, if we break through here and we do it with some sort of authority, and I really don't think it'll happen until we see a little bit of negativity. I think we need some more shorts to throw in. I mean, now that the tax is behind us and so on, a lot of the what's going on in the election coming up in 6 weeks or so, that's going to that could excite the markets one way or the other. But the potential here is a similar type of an extension, you know, another 1,000 points, 2,000 points, I mean, and probably very quickly. There's a book written by a guy named Peter Diamantis. He wrote a book called Abundance. And I don't know how I got into this room, but about 5 years ago, I was in a room.
You lost my bet.
Yeah, I think so. I was in.
Sounds Greek.
There were 40 other people. Yeah, he is Greek, I think. But he started something called the X Prize, where he was one of the first crowdfunding type guys. He offered $10 million to anybody who could shoot a rocket out of the atmosphere, come back and land on Earth, and then shoot that same rocket again 3 weeks later and come back. Two flights successfully reusing the same capsule. And he offered somebody anyway, he wound up. This Iranian woman funded, gave the $10 million, and it was a team out of somewhere in Europe won the prize. But that started this whole crowdfunding thing. But he believes, he's also something called the Singularity University. Singularity meaning where you won't be able to tell the difference between robots and human beings. And I was looking at a couple of your pictures, you guys. I'm sure you're right. I don't know if one of you guys is more of a robot than a human being, but I know I am when it comes to trade. But the idea is that he believes that the world is about to be abundant, and that we're learning how to grow food in controlled environments so that you can ship. I won't go through all of the things in abundance, but it talks about the plentiful nature of what's going on. That's one side. Others say, hey, we're overpopulating, you know, the world's more antagonistic than ever. I think we're going to, you know, those are two ways of thinking about it. And I think the chart is going to show us which way that's going to happen, because there is a lot of abundance out there that could take this market much higher. From a, you know, from a technical standpoint, it's pretty simple from this longer term chart that you've got, an old high, you've got a test of the high, a convincing candle through that high. This becomes the support, this in the same area, and we're off to the races. But nothing stopped this market so far, and I'm getting tired of people telling me this market has this bull market has been around 9 or 10 years and it's got to correct. Well, it doesn't have to correct. I mean, it's been correcting along the way, and so that's my thinking about the market. I think we're going to have a major move one way or the other.
Cool. Thanks for the book. Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody talking. Thanks for the book update. I'm going to definitely check that out. It's kind of interesting. If you go back many years, there was a guy named Wallace who wrote The Science of Getting Rich. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little spacey, but basically he keeps saying that we're going to meet all demands, that we'll find creative ways to meet our demands. And it sounds like this guy's in the same – it's kind of interesting to watch it unfold, because I think when I was in college, way back when the Earth was cooling, there was only five billion. No, there's more than five. There was 5 billion people on Earth. And I had a class that basically was saying that when it got to six, we're going to die. And I don't know exactly where it is now, but I think we're at eight or something. And so far, so good.
So, well, here's the, anyway. This basis really is on the technological area, with all the advances that are happening in the microchip and all of that is going to lead to this abundance. So, you know, he thinks it's technologically responsible.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to reading it. Thanks for that. I always get something out of these shows. So, all right, Lee, we had for forgotten about you over there. You have what developing events are you watching in the market, technical or news-wise or just anything right now?
Sure. So I don't pay attention to the macro stuff. Much in line with the sloppy that all the technical analysts have, which is, you know, everything, all the macro stuff's encapsulated in the price movement, blah, blah, blah. I take the view that the macro stuff and the reaction to it is encapsulated in what we see in the volume. So what I'm looking at, I'll try and bring a chart up now, just bear with me. Let's see which one I want. Let's do this one. At the moment, you should be seeing, has it come through yet?
Yes.
Okay, so looking at here is a weekly chart of the S&P futures. I'm looking at the traded volume within each candle. I'm also looking at the difference between buying and selling in the program. And what I'm seeing, and in fact, we're two ticks off the overnight high now. I think it's got a good chance of going through. Although we have got from 2 weeks ago a decent amount of passive selling absorption at 28.60 and 60 and three quarters from 3 weeks ago, not seeing any great signs of exhaustion. So yeah, it's high. It came back from being high. We've got to get through 60 and 60 and three quarters from a couple of weeks ago. But it doesn't feel like there is a real dose of exhaustion. We're not really running out of buyers. And until we get a clear sign that we run out of buyers, and it might be when we come up here again that we'll see some dramatic exhaustion, or we might go higher, and at a subsequent high, we might see it. But what I'm looking at is how the market is behaving at these price levels, what the volume is trading, and whether we're seeing either any dramatic tailing off in the quantity of buying activity, or if we're seeing very large passive sellers in the market who have got more selling power than buying power. And this is kind of what I'm paying attention to.
Okay, cool. Okay, Norman, I think this might be a toss-up for you, or what's the word, a setup? it escapes you what I'm trying to say, but I think once you look at the question, you'll know. What are the most important mental and emotional characteristics for traders to develop?
That's an easy one. Well, I was noticing the... Why don't you read some of the answers while I bring something up here?
Okay. Don't get too greedy. Profit. Total zero. Don't think. Just prices. Key. Patience. Confidence in what they are doing. Listen to no one else when you have your plan that works. Learn how to lose. Patience. Discipline. Managing risks. Yes.
Yeah.
Patience and consistency. All right, you ready?
Well, yes, I'm ready. And I think that what's interesting is that this is an inside look at our course, which anybody can give it a try free for 2 weeks. So if you go to thedisciplinetrader.com, you'll be able to see that. But I wanted to show you exactly how well these answers were made. And because what we've done is we've identified the core problems that traders have. And this is based on, you know, helping traders with the mental and emotional issues for probably, you know, for at least two decades now. But the core modules are each of the modules, and you can see there's six of them. But on core module one, if you notice right here, it says subconscious training, strength to pull the trigger. That's the first one. If you can't pull the trigger on a trade, if you're not 100% confident, like some guy I know, then you're not going to be able to pull the trigger on every trade. I mean, you have a trading system, you've got to believe in it. If you don't believe in your trading system, you need to stop trading and develop a trading plan that you can believe in. So strength to pull the trigger is one of them mentioned here. And what we do is we have a subconscious training. You sit there with your eyes closed in front of the computer. You spend 7 minutes listening to my wife's voice, and you'll see quickly why I fell in love with her. And you'll she's taken out there if you have the same reaction I had. But it's going to be what's going to happen is that that you're going to be relaxed, and then she will feed you mental support on this particular topic. You're a wise and disciplined trader, which is one of our favorite expressions. You're a wise and disciplined trader. You have the strength to pull the trigger. You trust in your system. All of the thoughts that should be going through your mind, rather than I'm not sure, I lost last time, and you know, should I really pull the trigger? Maybe I should wait. This gives you so if you find yourself not being able to pull the trigger, this is a session that one may want to take, and you can that kind of thing. So that's my wife's quick voice there. And then we have affirmations that support those kinds of things. The idea is that you're making mistakes in your trading because you're being controlled by your most dominant thought, your neural net carrying the wrong message. And so if you find yourself not taking a trade or being hesitant, you know that dominant neural net is not supporting you for trading. So you need to build a new neural net. And the way to do that is taking these quiet subconscious trainings. You relax, and a neural pathway with the right message hits your brain and stores it. When you repeat that 5 or 10 times, that's enough neural pathways with the right supportive message to create another neural net that dominates over your past one. So all of a sudden, when you have the same stimulus, where your system tells you to take a trade, you take it without hesitation. So just quickly, strength to pull the trigger, overcoming thoughts of fear and greed. I think that was one of the first ones that somebody mentioned, overcoming thoughts of fear and greed. Also trading to make money. Somebody says make money here, and it's true. We found that you need to run this at your trading as a business in your mind, that when you make a profit in a trade, that it's not profit that you can give back because it's just profit and it's okay if I'm even. A business means that you're profitable and that that offsets the cost of doing business, which in our business are your losses and your transactional fees. So you need to trade to make money. And that's a whole thing about trade management, strength to take your losses. I think Damon mentioned taking the losses. You've got to put them behind you. Winning is part of losing is part of the overall winning. And therefore, if you deny one, you're going to deny the end result. And exercising patience. And I was really pleased to see in this piece that you wrote how many times patience was mentioned. Because I think if I had to pick one of our training sessions that made the biggest turnaround for traders, it's this one, exercising patience. Traders, you know, they see two lines crossing and they it's obviously going to cross, so let's go ahead and take the trade now just to get a couple of extra ticks. You see it all the time, and you've got to wait till the signal is clear. You must have patience, and right now I'm looking at that long-term S&P chart and I'm saying I need to have patience to decide where I want to go, especially this next week. And staying the sixth core module is sustaining discipline. Discipline is something that you have to work on a daily basis. News is coming at you all the time, and you've got to have your defense. It's like taking your antioxidants, and that's what you're doing when you sit down and you spend 7 minutes in the morning just giving your brain the positive stuff that's going to support you as a trader. And so this is stuff that's so important, and yet it's the back door in all of trading. People look for the holy grail. They want to know anybody's system on this panel. I think you can make plenty of money if you can just stick to it. But instead, they start blaming all of the gurus because that's what's easy to do. Generally, there are many, many great systems out there. You just have to be disciplined to run the system. So that's really all I have to say about the topic.
Well, now. Norman, I'm sorry you didn't have anything to say on that. But
there you go.
Yeah, you touched upon a lot of things I don't want to touch upon, but I'll keep it brief. But let's go to you first, Lee. And the question of the week is, what are the most important mental and emotional characteristics for traders to develop? And hopefully Damon will come back from the bathroom. He's probably bored by now, but Damon, you're next. Go ahead, Lee.
I agree wholeheartedly with his patience. And you know, there's a handful of bits that traders get into, and it can be fear. It can be fear of missing out, which is about not being patient. It's about being greedy, which is also a bit of fear of missing out. I think it is crucial that a trader is able to understand their 2, 3, 4, 100 different setups, feel confident in them, and execute on them very mechanically. That's the biggest skill to develop. And what I see in our client base, I see people who come to us and their quest. If anyone says to us, how much money can I make doing this? Or my $1,000 a month doing this? Then I get very fearful about their longevity. I remember reading, it must have been one of the docs on technical analysis, where he makes the analogy of if you go and see a doctor, you want to see the doctor who has got all the medical journals in his office. You don't want to see the doctor who has a brand new Porsche outside his office. And And the skill of a trader is to be a good trader. Be good at what you do and the money will come. If you focus on the money, you're putting an artificial pressure on yourself, whether it's a revenue target or whether it's a time target, and that will result in very bad trading habits, and ultimately you'll blow up an account again and again and again.
Once again, no controversy on the show. Unless Damon, maybe Damon will bring some controversy to the subject. But well said, well said. What are the most important mental and emotional characteristics for traders to develop, Damon?
Well, you know, there's so many, obviously. We could see it right here, you know, with this discussion. But, and I agree with, you know, a good portion of it. I was on the floor for 28 years. And so I, besides trading myself, and I worked, I executed for Tudor Jones and Louis Bacon and some of the biggest guys out there. And I could see their patience, like you were saying, and also keeping their discipline and emotions. Those are all important, and we've heard it a million times. But one thing for the average trader that I saw, and good guys, guys that made good money in the pit and all that, is a couple things that I found were pitfalls that I adjusted myself.
No pun intended.
Right. So one, if you want to think about, you know, money management, let's call it money management, is one of the things that you have to think about. Every time I give a seminar, I love doing this. I ask everybody who puts a cap on how much they're shooting for each day. So like, in other words, you want to make 500 a day. That's your goal. And everybody raises their hand. And I said, how many out there have a limit of how much they will lose in a day? And like two people will raise their hand. I go, okay, that is so crazy. But see, I come from a world of 8,000 people on the floor for 28 years and a trading mentality. You see that. So it's really unnatural. I get it, but it should be the opposite. If you're making money, why do you put a cap on? You're in a zone. What happens when a pitcher is striking out? The coach never takes him out if he's striking everybody out, right? He stays in the game. He could be in there for seven or innings, which you'd go, wow. But if he's striking him out, you stay in the game. But if in the first inning he gave up three runs, he's out of there. So that's the biggest mistake. If you're in the zone, sometimes it's your system that's working, your emotions, you're pulling the trigger right, you're zigging when you should be, zagging when you should be. You stay in it. You know, there's no reason to put a cap on it. Now, when you're losing, I always tell everybody, what makes you feel uncomfortable when you're losing on a day? If $500, a $500 loss makes you feel uncomfortable, you're not going to trade great if you're losing $1,000. You're going to start thinking, oh, I got to make it back. Oh, this is horrible. Now, I'll give you one quick example. I had a trader, a good friend of mine. He was the best at making money every day. But when he lost money, he would just have a bruiser of a day. And one day he was in there and I saw nothing was going on. I used to call it a pea shooter day. Linda picked up that expression where nothing's going on. It's a sideways day. And all the big guys are playing cards inside the coffee room. And the little guys are just playing around. Nothing's going on. Well, he's in there. And he's sweating around the armpits and he's got a card, you know, handful of cards for trading cards. And I'm wondering what's going on with my friend. So when he came out and he's counting his cards and he looks like he's sweating like a, you know, crazy. I said, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm down like 20 G's. He says, it's crazy. I got to get back in there. I go, no, go home. This is the day you should go home. I said, you leave early when you make money, like you'll leave after an hour. If he makes $5,000 or $10,000, it's the kind of day that, you know, would be an average day for him. But then when you lose 20, you're in there all day. What makes you think you're going to be able to trade with, you know, mentally fit to trade when you're under the stress because you lost that money? So you don't trade to make back a loss. And how, if you were just to analyze your own trading, I guarantee you 90% of the people can relate to this out there, is that your biggest, you trade the most on your losing days and you trade the least on your winning days. That's just something to analyze for yourself. So don't put a cap on how much you're going to make, but put a cap on what makes you uncomfortable for a day. There's always another trading day, and it's just one trade of the next 10,000 trades you're going to make. So don't worry about it.
Amen. I've used that quote several times. Good stuff, Damon. Good stuff.
Good.
Like Norm, I have a couple of videos out there on trading psychology, and I did one presentation, which ended up becoming several videos, but I just wrote down the highlights from it. And as far as traits of traders, attitude, probably number one on my list, and I guess there's a few number ones on my list, but I'd rather have somebody smart. I'm sorry. I'd rather have somebody with a good attitude than someone with a high aptitude. In other words, I don't think you have to be incredibly smart to trade. I think your attitude is the most important thing. I think there's a lot of smart people that can't trade their way out of a wet paper bag. Good traders are humble. You don't see them posting their P&Ls or bragging a whole lot. I got an email this morning, you know, turn $5,000 into $100,000. Well, shit, if it's that easy, pardon my French, you know, I'm a little French friend since my little French friend says, Dave, that's English. But, you know, if it was that easy, why are we even here? You know, why are you grinding it out? You know, they're accountable. You have a lot of autonomy in this business. The only person you can answer to, you have to answer to, is yourself. But, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. You're going to have to make sure you just admit what's going on. You're gracious. You're agnostic towards the markets. You're students. You're always learning. You're planners. You got to, I know it's cliche, but you got to plan that trade and trade that plan. And then the other big number one, and I'll wrap it up pretty quickly here, but I would say patience. And I have the unfair advantage, like some of you guys here too, of seeing a lot of people make a lot of mistakes. And it serves as a constant reminder for me not to make those mistakes. Not that I don't make mistakes, but I'm constantly reminded. And one thing is the patience to wait for setups. And I think it was Lee or Norm, I forget who, mentioned earlier, like, oh, these things look like they're going to cross. And I'm guilty of that too. It's like, looks like I'm going to have a setup, so let me just jump on in. And no, you wait for that setup. And sometimes, and this is really hard for me, especially early on in my trading, because I felt like I had to be in and out like a madman all day. But sometimes there's nothing to do. And on those days, you don't do anything. Do some research, spend some time with your loved ones. As I often say, at least with my style, swing to intermediate term trading, I think that busy traders make really good traders because they're not trading out of boredom. And then you need the patience to wait once you're in a setup. We'll have something trigger. And I believe in staying with the trade until they get stopped out. And sometimes, not often, but I can think of one case where they had a positive earnings, or there was some good news came in, and then the stock doubled. Well, most people got out after the first 3 or 4 days when it went sideways. Another case I can think of, we got into this stock that looked great as a setup, triggered and went sideways for a month, and then they got bought out. Well, I guarantee you 9 out of 10 or 99 out of 100 people exited long before they ever got bought out because they just couldn't sit to follow the plan. Part of that problem is this microwave society we live in. Everything is, instant everything, microwave, everything. No movie stores exist anymore. I often tell a story. There was one in town that closed down like 6 months ago. I figured they were selling crack or something in the back. I don't know what they were doing there to stay open, but this is just a society we live in. So anyway, lots of traits to acquire. And I think that if I had to do it all over again, if I could start from day one, I would work on those traits a hell of a lot more than going off and grail hunting for hours and hours a day and throwing money after system after system after system. I would just work on getting the right attitude. And, you know, unless you're Bill Clinton and markets what is. So I said I'd go quick, but that doesn't look like I did that. But anyway, let's, Norm, let's go to you. Do you have a trade of the week? And if you don't, that's fine too.
I have a couple of things I wanted to show you. It's really not trade of the week, but what I like to do is to anticipate markets that may or may not be about to do something. Here's the coffee market. And I think, Damon, you're probably very well aware of what's going on in coffee. I mean, look at this market. This is where we just broke 100 today. We're trading now down three, almost 4 cents today, 97. So this is down dramatically today. And you can see how this is just a market that's just looked like it's going to be over. But after it's over, it's going to, it may have a move like this, this move from 2000. This is the kind of markets that I like to watch. So I wanted to kind of show you that chart so that you can kind of, these are the home run hitters. It may take another year or 2 years, but I'm keeping my eye on the coffee market. There's one other thing I wanted to mention to you about the abundance thing that I talked about. He talked about exponential growth in the technologies, as well as we see it all the time on charts in the stock market. This is a chart of Tesla from its beginning. And I wanted to point to you this very beginning. I'm going to call this a technology stock for lack of a better term. But you can see how it looks like nothing's going on here, but these are some fairly dramatic moves between 20 and 40 here. You can see we had a big candle here, and met with a reversal candle that caused this thing to go sideways for the entire year, 2 year period, before it had the breakout candle, which led to wherever where it's going right now. What I wanted to point out is this part in the beginning where it. Where the technology is fighting and being accepted. So here's my the choice I wanted to give you. There's a stock called Organovo, O-N-V-O. I'm going to find it here in a second, boys. Oh, there, that was it right there, wasn't it? anyway, look up O-N-V-O, O-N-V-O, Organovo. It's a stock that is and maybe one of you guys can put up the chart for me, a longer term chart. I'm not working on my trading system right here. I'm doing this presentation on an Apple. But if you can if you bring up that chart, somebody, you'll be able to see that this is a chart that is banging along the bottom. These people are the people that are that make bioidentical cells. Organovo is the leader in they're making sheets of skin right now to experiment on. And if you're looking for a home run play, and this is probably not you said it could be controversial. It's I feel like, you know, I'm just going to tell people what I'm looking for a couple of home runs. I'm looking for that coffee market to turn around at some point, and I'm looking for Organovo to take off from its $1 to $2 range right now to wherever it's going. But Organovo is a current technology that people are doubting right now. You'll be able to take your genome and print out a liver or a kidney without having to wait on a list. This is about 10 years away, and maybe sooner. So I just wanted to give you that particular stock, ONVO.
Okay, interesting stuff. For sure. All right, Lee, let's go to you. Do you have a trade of the week you want to mention, or it could also be a tip if you want?
Controversially, no. I don't have a trade of the week. For me, every trading day is pretty much the same, which is I expect the market to go up and go down during the first hour and find a range. It's likely to break that range, and I'd like to trade the break of that range. I'd like to trade it for as far as it will go, and maybe I'd like to trade it on the way back, and that's every day.
Cool. All right, Dame, let's go to you. Do you have any trades?
You know, I hate to say it, but I am sticking to being long here in ES. I think that we, the way the price is behaving and the volume, I mean, we're making new highs as we're speaking. I think it's going to be that slow move up that and everybody's going to wait for a sign from God to get long, but it's going to, I I feel that based on what I'm looking at, the market's going to test the highs. Now, you know, of course, you know, if you're trading based what I'm telling you, but based off the dailies, you know, you're going to have to take a little risk. You're going to have to, risk a bit, but I would trade from the long side. So if you're trading short term, I do like to, you know, trading day by day. I would be looking to buy dips and buying any corrections, short-term corrections for the week.
Well, your prediction has come through this hour, so nice work so far.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, you can see it's, you know, definitely moving higher.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any specific trades, and I think that's, if I have to throw out a tip, that would be a tip. Don't trade. Don't, what did Jimmy Rogers said, wait till his money line and corner, walk over and pick it up. In the meantime, do nothing. And I fully believe in that. So I don't really, I literally did not place an order on Friday. It felt kind of weird, but it's like, well, wait a minute, there's nothing to do. I did place one order today in the New Zealand dollar, New Zealand dollar, looking for a short-term reversal and trend off of an intraday pattern on that. And it's still with the trend, but it's a transitional pattern. A bow ties is what I call that. But as far as specific trades, I don't have any to throw out today. I would say as long as the market is less than 10% away from, and since we're all-time highs, let's just use all-time highs for now. As long as we're 10% away from all-time highs, erring aside a longer-term trend, that doesn't mean you want to mortgage a house and go crazy long or go crazy bullish, but it means that if you're seeing a short or two setting up, you might want to hold off on that. If you see some good looking long setting up, if we get out of this sideways range, then by all means take them. So err on the side of longer term trend, especially when the market is less than 10% away from all-time highs. All right, I'm going to go ahead and let's just go real quick through everyone. Norm, do you have any closing thoughts or anything else you want to tell us about this one, trader?
I'm still get on the agnostic fantastic thing that you mentioned, that Damon's waiting for a sign from God. I know I yell hallelujah.
No, I'm not waiting for a sign from God.
Oh, that's right. You're not waiting for a sign from God. And I'm just wondering whether it's okay if I still say hallelujah when I win. I'm not going to labor on it, because I think that everybody, you got to lose enough and you got to get angry enough to say to yourself, okay, it is me that's causing my own problems. And if you've got a system that you know could work if you can only follow it, take 14 days and work with your mind a little bit, 7 minutes a day. And if people say, well, 7 minutes a day. I said, look at the clock. If it says 7 a.m, make believe it says 7:07. And would that make such a big difference to you? Just go ahead and take the 7 minute session. It's relaxing and it's motivating when you're done with it. Start to build positive neural pathways to give yourself support mentally and emotionally. And that's what we're about. We give that to you in spades. So if you want to take a 14-day free trial, just go to The Discipline Trader, thedisciplinetrader.com, or just look up my name. I'm all over the place with the 4-minute drills that I do. So that's my message. When you're ready, we're ready to help you.
It reminds me of the Pogo comic that I often use. We have met the enemy and he is us. It's amazing the amount of people, like people call me up and they're like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm all freaked out. I'm like, oh, what are you doing wrong? And they tell me exactly what they're doing wrong. And then 10 minutes later, I fix them. You know, it's like, not all the time it's that easy, but in general, most of the time, people know what they're doing wrong. So, Lee, let's go to you. Any closing thoughts?
They have the expression, you're not alone. That's it. You know, you're not alone.
Absolutely. Lee, do you have any closing thoughts or anything else you want to tell us about EmojiTrader.com?
About, you know what, keep this stuff really simple. We're all trading commodities, whether it is physical commodities, XC indices, Forex, in a market. And the fundamental rules of commodities in a market is that when prices are low, you'll have more buyers than sellers. And when prices are high, you'll have more sellers than buyers. Now, what is low and what is high? This changes ultimately. But it really need be no more complicated than understanding from buyer and seller behavior, when are we low, when are we high? Track the supply and demand. And at Emoji Trading, that's what we're all about. We just try to make the supply and demand very blue boxes and red boxes and words that say exhaustion, no sellers, big buyer. And if you want to see how that can kind of free your mind from the clutter of squiggly lines on your charts, then feel free to head over to our site, which is www.emojitrading.com, or check out some of the videos on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/emojitrading, and really see how clear and simple trading you focus on the basic principles of supply and demand.
Okay, cool. Okay, if anybody's interested in some of the things I talked about, and I do a lot of, like Norm, I do a lot of work on trading psychology. I also do a lot of work in money management, the technical analysis. And I do believe in keeping it simple. Sounds like everybody here today also believes in keeping the trading simple, which amen to that, since we're on the hallelujah, amen. But you can go to DaveLeonard.com/CFN, put your information in, I'll give you a gift certificate, and you can get some stuff and get started for free. And again, I do a weekly show every Thursday, usually at 11 o'clock Eastern. And bring your favorite stock picks, bring your questions, and we'll take a look at them and see if we can get you some answers on that. Okay, we're going a little long today, so I'm not going to close it up with everyone. I'm going to let David close it up for us. But great show today. I really enjoyed. You guys were fantastic as first-time guests. I hope you guys are willing to come back, and maybe David will work to get you guys back on again. But I really enjoyed being here, and I learned a lot today. So thank you guys. Thank you, Damon, Norman, and Lee. Hey, I appreciate you guys being here. Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah.
I know we got a closing thing, but I just want to let.
Oh, I'm sorry. Know. I'm sorry. For some reason, I put it next to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, just 2 cents. I'm not going to get too crazy here. Is my screen up?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see it? Okay. Just for those people that are interested at all in Photon Trader or Future Path, which our brokerage, we offer 20 different platforms. There's my name along with my email and phone number. Meanwhile, I want to let everybody know if anybody's interested in a webinar I'm doing tomorrow and next Tuesday. It's free. I used to fill for the index funds on the floor, like the Pro Funds, the RIDEX funds. So that last half an hour, I'm doing a couple more webinars on that, and it's a pretty good move. It's, you know, if you're going to trade anything, I think the last half an hour is a great half an hour to trade if you know how everything works. But so send me an email saying that you want a link to the webinar, and we'll get you in. Other than that, I have to say this, Dave. You know, you said something that sparked me about mistakes and that. Ned Davis said it right. He says the difference between a professional and non-professional is a professional makes less mistakes. We all make mistakes, and you got to learn by them. That's my closing line.
Amen. Yeah, sorry, Amen. Pastor Irwin.
Hallelujah.
Sorry, Pastor Irwin. I said, I find it odd Damon didn't mention a website or anything, and it's like, I'm sorry about that. I put an X next to your name.
Don't worry about it.
But yeah, good to see you. I'm sure we'll hook up at some point, have a couple of beers at one of these functions that we seem to bump into each other.
So, for sure.
All right. Well, look, David Kosminter, back to you. And again, thanks everybody again for the for a wonderful show. Yeah, David Kosminter.
This is David Kosminter. Unfortunately, my internet connection went out while Damon was talking at the end there, so I wasn't able to give my normal closing statement. But just a reminder, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. Also, you can go to timingresearch.com to get archives for all the past shows and all the past reports. And I just want to thank my guests again for this week: Norman Hallett of thedisciplinetrader.com, Lee Harris of emojitrading.com, Damon Pavlados of futurepathtrading.com, and Dave Landry of davelandry.com. Thanks, everyone.